You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Welcome to Jumping Knee Pod, a modern day All Japan Pro Wrestling podcast. I'm your host, Jessica, and today with me is Simone.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Jessica. Thank you for having me.
He's back. Back again.
Yes. Yes. When we talk about Suwama, the shadow of Simone looms very menacingly about.
Yeah, when I was planning this episode, I was like, there's two people I definitely have to have, and one of them was Simone, so I'm glad I got one of you guys.
Yeah, I'm very happy about it.
So the wrestling side of the internet can be such a negative place. You say you like a wrestler or a match or a whole promotion and someone will come out of nowhere and say your opinion is wrong and like it sucks. And I've had that happen to me with random people, so I know how bad that feels.
Yes, yes. Especially on Twitter, people tend to be very the opposite of productive. If they don't like something, they need the world to know about it. Every time something is mentioned, they are there, which I don't know. It's weird to me, but I mean,
it's not weird. It's their horrible. Own, I guess.
Yes, it's horrible. It's horrible, especially if you don't know the person you are talking to. I don't know. I mean, what can you do? And Suwama is one of the topics that always brings this kind of discussion, which is kind of shocking to me, because I've been following since he debuted, basically. So I have a bigger scope than most people. But I don't know, people talk about Suwama like he's this old lumbering guy that cannot move in the ring, which is, I mean, it cannot be further from the truth to me.
Mm.
And I think the beautiful part about this episode is that we are talking about some matches that a lot of people don't know, because the problem with a lot of the most noisy and, I don't know, aggressive people about this kind of stuff is a lot of people then that haven't watched a lot of stuff, but they feel entitled to, I don't know, to disparage everything they don't like, even if they don't have, I don't know, this big picture about the topic, which is kind of frustrating to me. And a lot of people talk about Suwama like he debuted 2 years ago. And we are talking about a guy who is 50, he's a bit overweight, he's not as beefy as he was before. Of course, he's getting old. But I think when we're talking about guys of that age, I mean, Suwama is almost 50. And when we talk about someone that age that still can go this hard as Suwama again, I really don't understand. I really can't understand why there is this negativity about the guy. Especially, I mean, because, and we, this is a topic that we will bring up, all that he did for All Japan. I mean, if All Japan is still around, it's because there was Suwama in the mid to late 2000s, I believe.
Yeah.
And we will talk about it later in more detail. But it's kind of something that irks me a lot. So I wanted to air my complaint about this problem.
Air them. This is the place. I understand 100%. I love Suwama. He's just the grumpiest guy who is also the funniest. And like, it's not because he tries to be funny. He is just like unintentionally funny. He's just the best.
Yes, and everything about him is funny, because, I mean, there is that video of Hikaru Sato praying to Suwama's picture. That's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life, and I think about that constantly, because that's me, basically. That's what I do during my tiring and tough times. So I feel you, Hikaru. I feel you.
Yeah, so these bonus episodes it's going to be a series and it's all going to be positive because we need that now more than ever. So this series is going to be called the Fan Club Series, where I got one of my friends, we pick a wrestler and we talk about their favorite matches. And today, obviously, is the Suwama Fan Club. He has to be the first one. He had his 20th anniversary
Yes.
last month and we just want to celebrate him because he deserves it. So if you're looking for something like history of Suwama, like, sorry, but this isn't it. But if you are wondering where to start with the eight-time Triple Crown champion, well, this one's for you. So we each picked two matches involving Suwama that we love. So let's just get into it. And just as a note, this is not us saying it's his best matches. So if you don't agree with us, just know it's our favorites. It's not what we consider the best, even though we might.
Yes. I mean, especially because I was toying about when I was picking the matches, I had a lot of choices. I was unsure about the kind of matches because I didn't know which part of his career to pick from. And funnily enough, I chose two matches that are 1 year apart. But there were other matches that I was very tempted to put in, because especially if we consider the time frame from 2008 to 2016, Suwama had an insane amount of bangers, because especially, I mean, a lot of people that don't know Suwama didn't know Suwama when he was younger, and they only have the image of Suwama as a 50-year-old. He used to have longest matches with a lot of intensity, a lot of insane bumps. So, I mean, it's obvious that now that he's 50, he's a bit is slower, because he had a very intense career. And we're talking about 20 years of career. It's not the longest career at all, but it was a very intense career. And there is a lot of stuff to pick from, I think.
So just before we get into our matches, Jonathan Foy was supposed to join us. He was the other guy I wanted. Fortunately, he couldn't make it, but he did send along one of his favorites, and it is Suwama versus Jun Akiyama from the 30th of June, 2013. It will be one of the last times we ever see the original three belts before swapping it to the current belt later that year. So it's pretty special.
Yes, it is. It is. It's also special because it is the match that basically means the beginning of Akiyama's era in All Japan, because it is when Akiyama slowly came back into the picture and he later became the president. So it is not a small part of All Japan's modern history. And also the match was incredible, I think. It was one of the best matches of, I think, from 2008 to 2013, 14, there aren't a lot of matches that are better than this. It is absolutely one of the best matches of that time period.
So my first match I want to talk about, we did touch on it briefly during an episode I did with Lyric. It is Suwama versus Hiroshi Tanahashi from the 9th of March, 2018, which was the Champion Carnival Finals. So just a little backstory for me, when it comes to older matches, I find it hard to watch for some reason. It might shock some people, but when it comes to matches involving like the Four Pillars, which is like the best of All Japan, people say, I can count how many matches I've watched of them on one hand. I just find it hard. So when this match came around, I was hesitant. I do love these two guys. When I was watching New Japan, Tanahashi was one of my favorites, and now watching All Japan, Swan was one of my favorites, but like, I can say that for almost everybody on the roster.
I agree completely. I mean, they're all my favorites, so it's hard to, I know.
So I went into this match basically blind, and I was surprised to see Tanahashi was like an evil invader heel while Suwama was a hero defending All Japan. And Tana's heel work is just like chef kiss. It's beautiful. Like, of course, he still has his fans in the crowd, but this was like Suwama's home. And they absolutely loved him. They went crazy for him. Just watch the entrance. That's like all you need to watch to see just how over Suwama was and how hated Tanahashi was. Like, his music is muted, but you can literally see people like boo him when he came out. It's fantastic.
This is a particular relic of that time, because this is the only time I think I can think on top of my head of Tanahashi being an evil heel. And this was the Champion Carnival run. He was basically the evil invader, which is extremely fascinating, because I think he's the most natural of all the baby faces of all times. Mm. So to see him act in that fashion is incredibly fascinating to me. And he's very good at it also.
Yeah.
He's incredibly natural.
I don't really want to go too much into this match because I want people to see it. Like, I want people to see
Yes.
all of these matches. They will be linked in the description, like where you can find them. But this was just like edge of your seat stuff since the bell rang. Seeing Swama do a dive was crazy. And the slap he delivered to Tanahashi, oh, that made me wince. I did laugh a lot when Tana did like a shutdown suplex type move, since Swama will be dealing with that move for like years to come.
Yes. Yes.
The whole match, just the crowd was going wild, but they, along with the wrestlers, ramped it up for the last 10 minutes, just pin attempt, kick out at the last possible second, reversals, big move after big move. Swama, after two unsuccessful tries, finally got to deliver a last ride to Tanahashi. And oh my God, it is beautiful. It's one of my favorite spots in wrestling, like, period, like, hands down, of all time. It's fantastic.
Yes, I think it's one of the most iconic power bombs of Japanese wrestling, or at least in the modern times. To the point that I think I seem to remember that in some of the intros that All Japan do to their shows, there is that clip when they do the presentation of the roster. There is that clip of Swama killing Tanahashi with that incredible last ride. It's one of the toughest power bombs of all time. It's incredible the way Tanahashi basically bumps on the ring. It's incredible. The snap of the neck, it's incredible. It's perfect. It's perfect. And also, you pointed out something that's important, because Swama used to take flight. Swama used to eat suicide dives, used to eat the frog splash from the corner. And nowadays, he steers clear from corners.
Stays on his feet.
You will never see, yes, you will never see him flying again. And I think, to a lesser degree, it is kind of common, because I was watching a few months ago an old Kento match, and in that match he's a frog splash. And I think he hasn't been on the turnbuckle for, I think, 10 years. So I think it's fairly common. Also, Swama, at the time, he was very young. He was, I believe, 30-something at the time of the match, 31 probably, or 30. What was particular of the match is that you had these two aces that were about to become the faces of their promotion. And at the time, All Japan and New Japan were very close. New Japan wasn't the monster that they are today. They were very close to All Japan when it comes to their size. So it was very interesting. And I think it's one of the most iconic matches of that time, especially for what it represents. And also, one thing that we should not forget is that this was Swama's first big babyface phase. Because prior to this, he was in Voodoo Martyrs. That is something that people tend to forget. But this was the first time that Swama was really presented as the top face of the promotion. And I think he delivered in spades. It's incredible how easy he fell into his role. And the match is incredible. The match is truly incredible. I really recommend anyone to watch that. And I'll be broader in my sentence, because all the matches that they put on All Japan TV to celebrate Suama's 20th anniversary, they are extremely good, all of them. And also, I think Suama handpicked them, so to him, those are the matches that meant something to him. I think it's important to watch those matches to have a bigger context of who Swama is, because, I mean, not to repeat myself, but if we keep talking about a guy who is 50, you cannot have the full spectrum of what the guy is and was, and what he represents for the company.
Looking back now, it's crazy to think, like, Swama has been wrestling for 20 years, and this is his only Champion Carnival victory. Like, when I found that out, I was just like, no, like, that's not true. Like, it's Swama. He must have won, like, two or three, but not. Only one. And also, up to this year, Kento's only won one too. So, like, you're really spreading it around. It's not hogged by the aces.
Yes, and luckily nowadays, there is the Royal Road, so they can give something more to the guys. But the problem with Swam and Kento that they have won, like, 90 Triple Crowns in two. So when you're always champion, it's hard that they also will give you the carnival, because winning the carnival as the champion means that you're killing the competition. So the promotion is not that interested in doing that. But, I mean, every once in a while, I think that All Japan did back when Get Wild, Manabu Soya and Takao Mori were tag champions was to have them enter the Royal World Tag League as champions, give up the belt, and then the belt was given to the winner of the tournament. I mean, which is something that every once in a while could be cool, and
Yeah.
it is also an opportunity for a guy who is the champion to win the carnival because, I mean, only one carnival. It is shocking because there are guys who have won far less. Like for example, Taiyo Kea has two carnivals and only one Triple Crown championship. So it's fascinating.
Yeah. This is like the match that actually led to Swam getting a Triple Crown shot and his first Triple Crown, first of eight.
Yes, and he won the Triple Crown against Sasaki. So it was a very big move from All Japan to give to this guy who basically was not still a rookie but almost there because he debuted, if I remember correctly, in 2004.
Yeah, 4 years.
So yeah, 4 years into his career, which I mean nowadays we have Banzai and it seems almost normal, but it's not. It's really not because generally speaking, Japanese promotion are very, I don't know, defensive with the time, conservative with the time that they give to their guys before winning the title. So they gambled with him, but they were right because he was actually the best. I mean, to me, it was obvious from the beginning. He always looked special to me, but I remember at the time some people were actually convinced that he was a bad wrestler. And I think it's incredible to me that people are so hell-bent in being so negative about a guy who has been around for such a little time. I've seen the same with a lot of guys nowadays, for example, with the Saito brothers. A lot of people at the time, I mean, there are people who still think that they are bad, which to me it's unfathomable. But there were people that were very harsh with two guys that debuted in their 30s. So, I mean, it's a bit harder to learn. You're not a small kid of 18, so you're a little bit less elastic in your learning. But I mean, to me, Swan was always special, and I think he showed that was the case.
And like I've said this before, I'll say it again. I will continue to say it, but like Tanahashi and Swama are legends, but like Swama
Yes.
gets way less recognition. Like we've already said, everybody knows like Tanahashi carried New Japan on his back, but Swama did the same for All Japan, and I don't think people know that, or if they do, they don't hold as high as Tanahashi, and that's disappointing.
Yes, especially because at the time, All Japan used to always, not always, but almost every 2 or 3 months used to have matches and shows at Sumo Hall, which, I mean, it's a big place. Nowadays, not many promotions have the balls to do such a thing. Not even New Japan. They are a little bit more conservative. They have always big shows in big places, but All Japan were doing pretty often. They were booking these places pretty often because Keiji Muto, which is the king of formalism, was basically imitating what Baba was doing with Nippon Budokan at the time. So the Nippon Budokan was the place where the tour ended for All Japan at their peak. And Muto wanted to do the same with the Sumo Hall. I mean, which is smaller, obviously, but it is still a big place. And All Japan was always able to bring people to these shows because Suwama was there holding the belt. And he kept the belt for, I mean, the 2008 reign wasn't very long, but the 2010, which is his second reign, was, I mean, I believe a year and a half. So not that short of a reign. So, I mean, it's absolutely commendable what he did.
So, what's your first match you want to talk about?
Yes, my first match is the match against Takayama in 2009, which is incredibly iconic to me. I mean, if we talk about Suama, what people know about him is the gif of him punching Takayama, him and Takayama punching each other, which is the ending stretch of the match, which, I mean, it kind of leaves out a lot of surprise for people who are coming into the match because you know that's happening and that's how the match ends. But I mean, the match I wouldn't know how to describe it besides two gorillas being the shit out of each other. I haven't seen more many matches that have this kind of intensity and testosterone. They absolutely kill each other. They beat the shit out of each other from the gong to the ending, and they really go hard on each other, and it's incredible to me. Especially because at the time Takayama, he had a lot of problems, and he wasn't in his best phase of his career. He was very, very heavy, and he did better later, and of course before. But 2009 was probably one of the worst times for his physical condition of his career. And the other matches of his reign, besides the one where he lost against Kojima, which is not a stellar match by any means, but it's a good match. The other matches are absolutely not that special. And Suama really carried Takayama to an incredible match. I repeat, this one is incredibly intense. They maul each other for the entirety of the match. And there are some spots that are absolutely mental. I was thinking about putting a GIF of the match, and I think I'm gonna do it, but I'm kind of trying to avoid Twitter nowadays because but I wanted to put a GIF to this match that a certain point Suama decides for some reason to eat an avalanche belly to belly suplex.
Yes. Oh my God.
From the top rope. To a guy who isn't at that point of his career, wasn't mobile at all to, I don't know, to soften the blow. So Takayama basically fall right onto his head. And it's one of the most vicious spots I've seen in a while.
That was
and also
scary.
There is a it's incredibly scary. And there is also a front suplex that he does on the outside that he sends Takayama flying on the outside of the ring, which it's incredibly shocking because Takayama, at that point was a very hefty dude. These kind of bumps are not an easy feat for someone that big. And also this match is absolutely suplex pornography. I think that I lost the count of how many suplexes they hit to each other, backdrops, butterfly suplexes, Germans. And also, I mean, not to be banal, but the ending, the punches, the headbutt, the head kick, the blood. The ending is one of the most iconic finishes in modern old Japan. I firmly believe that this is one of the best matches of post-split old Japan to this day, still to this day. And I don't know what to say. I almost didn't need to watch the match because I watched it so many times in my life, especially because it was one of the matches that old Japan put on their old YouTube page. So it was free to see for a long time. So I don't know. I don't know how many times I watched this match, but it is still incredible to me. I think I will keep rewatching it regularly because it is exactly what I like in wrestling. I like big dudes beating the shit out of each other, throwing massive suplexes. Yes, this is the good shit. This is exactly what I wanted in wrestling. And it is exactly what I like in Japan. I like in Japan because this is the kind of stuff that I grew up watching as a fan. This was this was normal at the time. Big dudes beating the shit out of each other. Yes.
Yeah, I was telling you before we started recording, like I watched that match for the first time today while having breakfast. I've seen GIFs, of course, like the punchy thing is iconic. I've seen that 100 times, but I've never seen the whole match. So this was like an experience for me, and like no doubt it was like a fantastic match. Swama had a dive and a drop kick, which I love. I love his drop kicks. I would love it till like he retires.
Yes,
they're so impactful.
Yes, I miss those.
Mm.
His running drop kicks were one of a kind.
I have never seen Swama so small though. Because like Swama's a big dude. He towers over people and he just makes everyone look tiny, but he looked tiny here.
Yes, and he's almost 190. He's a giant, but Takayama is a beast. Takayama is tall and hefty. He is the complete package. Also, have you seen how Suama was very beefy at the time? He was very, very thick, but in a muscular fashion. He was a very beefy dude. Of course, this is one of the things that a lot of people talk about Suama. One complaint that I've seen all the time is that he has short arms. Short and little arms.
I've never heard that before.
I've seen it on Cage Match, and I've seen it on Twitter. I mean, I repeat, he's 50. Watch Swan when he was 30. I mean, you will have a clear idea of who he is. I mean, I want to see you at 50 years of age. What kind of arms you will have at that age? Random commenter. Yes. Swan attracts a lot of disrespect. He is one of the most disrespected wrestlers of all time, I think, which is, I mean, he's not a bad person, so I don't understand what warrants this kind of treatment by a lot of people.
Like, on his Instagram, he posts like cute photos with his dog. Like, he's such a wife guy. He loves his wife so much.
Yes, he's very awesome. Yes, he likes meat. He likes football. And he likes his family. And motos. He likes motorcycles. Yeah, he's a big fan of that.
Oh, well, we're here to spread some positivity, so.
Yes. He is severely needed.
The people who, like, say Swammer's got two short arms, like, we don't need you here.
Yes, I agree. I agree. I completely agree.
Okay, moving on to my second match. It's him versus Kento Miyahara from March 23rd, 2020. So this match made me love All Japan. This match was responsible for replacing New Japan with All Japan as my favorite promotion. I fucking love this match so much. Like, I don't think people understand. Like, if you look at the year 2020, yeah, this was like a shit time. I was off work. I wouldn't go back to work till the next year. Like, things were shutting down. But All Japan and Animal Crossing, they were there for me. These two companies. I love it so much. And, like, I feel like Swama and Kento is a modern-day classic pairing. So, like, I had to have a match between two of them for this episode. I just had to. All Japan did such a good job making this match seem like it was the biggest deal ever. You had Kento, who was in his 500-plus day reign, going for his 11th defense versus Swama, who, if he won, and he did, would break his own record for most reigns with the belt. So, like, this was huge. Swama was definitely the favorite here, but not by a lot, because, like, Kento always has his fans. There's people shrieking Kento's name. No one's shrieking Swama's name. But I just adore this match. Watching this, I was captivated. The crowd's excitement made it that much better. These two were just going all out. And Kento had his little heel tendencies. You know, like, when he sticks out his tongue and he smirks?
Yes.
We haven't had that for a while. And it's like, Kento, where is it? Bring it back.
Yes. Yes, which goes to show how smart he is, because he knew exactly what kind of character he had to show in the match. And he's a very smart dude. Besides being an incredible wrestler, he's the complete package. He's charismatic. He's very smart. I mean, I think being smart is the biggest part of being a wrestler, because a lot of guys can be limited, but being smart, you can circle around this problem. But if you're good and you're smart, you'll end up being one of the best. Yeah. And this is Kento's case. And this match was one of the matches that shows how smart he is to understand the place that he had to, the role that he needed to have in the match. I mean, it was packaged very well, the match. It had a nice build, and it really felt special at the time. And I think nowadays it is very fondly remembered by a lot of people.
Yeah.
One of the best matches of modern old Japan. And I agree, it is good stuff. And I think Swama and Kento have an incredible chemistry, because they could go and do a, I don't know, pretty simple match and still have a great result. And when they go all out, the match is to be remembered. And it is one of those cases.
So there were no dives or slaps like the Tanahashi match, but there were drop kicks, like chef's kiss. There were elbows, there was lariats, there was backdrops. Like, what more do you want? They went all out. Like, it's all the good stuff. When Swama hit the final backdrop for the pin, you can see these two fans. They jump out of their seats and count the three count with Wada. And they're just so happy. And when he gets the three count, like, people are jumping up and hugging each other. It's just, I don't know, it just makes you smile, because you can feel their happiness.
Yes.
You can feel how excitement they were. And it's just like, I love it so much. Like,
yes.
I told you, like, it's It got me to love All Japan. This is the match that did it.
It's understandable. It's very beautiful. It is. I mean, this could have been my introduction as well. If I was starting to, if I was coming at the time, I would have fallen in love with this match. It was very special, and I mean, it goes to show that Suwama, when needed, still can go super hard, even if he knows his limitation because he is not that young anymore. So he knows what he can and cannot do, especially because in a couple of moments of All Japan's history, for example, when Kento exploded, basically, Kento exploded because Suwama was injured. And I don't remember what kind of injury it was, but he stayed away from the ring for almost a year, a full year. So he's had his fair share of problems in his careers. In his career, he's had injuries, but he still can go because he's very smart, because he's a great wrestler, and because he's one of the heaviest hitters around still nowadays. I still don't think there is someone anywhere that it's harder backdrops. They are death. Every backdrop that it's like death, and they are so beautiful.
There's a backdrop coming up in your second match that I thought was like one of the most beautiful backdrops I've ever seen Swama do.
Yes.
But this match with Kento, it was like the last match before COVID shut everything down. And you needed someone like Swama. I'm not saying Kento can't do it, because of course he can, but I think like getting Swama to lead All Japan through that time was smart, because Suwama can do it. People look to Suwama just as they look to Kento to like guide All Japan through. And he held the belt for a long time, actually.
Yes, because they know how reliable he is. And even if he's not that young, you know that Suwama can have great matches against anyone. Around that time, Suwama and Kento were also feuding for the tag belts. And a little bit earlier, I don't know if you remember, was the partner of Kento, who was Kento's partner
I
for
don't
those
know. I
matches?
have no idea.
Yoshitatsu, the man himself. And with Yoshitatsu in the mix, they had incredible matches, which goes to show one, the chemistry between Kento and Suwama, and two, a Suwama in any context can be the plus of the match. And we are not talking about this particular side of Suwama's career, because we both picked single matches because they feel more special, obviously. But Suwama is an incredible tag wrestler. He's had an incredible career both with Joe Doring, which I hope is doing well because he's the best. He's severely missed in All Japan and in the entirety of the wrestling scene. He was one of the best gaijin of all time, I think. He really easily understand what he has to do as a gaijin in Japan, and especially in All Japan. And also Violent Giants with Shuji Ishikawa, which is one of the most iconic tag teams of our time. And Suwama is incredibly smart in approaching tag matches. He's had great teams with also, for example, yeah, he's had not that short, I mean, not that long either, a partnership with Ryota Hama, who is now in Big Japan. And he was, I mean, we I will talk about the faction, the unit, for my next match. He was one of Suwama's protege, and he's had great matches with him, with Kondo. He's also an incredible tag wrestler.
So, without even knowing, when I picked these two matches that led to Swami's first reign and his last reign, I didn't realize. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of sweet.
Yes, you pick the Alpha and the Omega of Suwama's career. I mean, I think he's not getting any more Triple Crown titles. I mean, he almost retired from the belt for
Oh,
like 5
God.
minutes this year. So I don't think he's ever going to win another Triple Crown match. I mean, I will not be against it in case, but I don't know if it's wise for a guy that age and with that many physical problems, with vertigo now adding to the list of problems that he has. But if he feels that he can do it, I'm go for it. I'm down. No problem whatsoever.
Yeah, I was like
But
leading the Suwama thank you rain campaign this year.
Yes, it doesn't even need to be a long rain. But, I mean, it's not like he's needed. I mean, he's had it all. He had big matches against anyone. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's entirely up to him at this point.
So let's talk about your second match.
Yes. My second match was the match against Minoru Suzuki in 2010. It was the start of Suwama's biggest reign, because it is the reign that lasted, I seem to remember, it's like 500 days. I'm not sure about it, but I'm fairly positive it is that kind of that kind of reign. And it was the reign that really made Suwama to me, because the 2008 reign, of course, it was important because he beat Tanahashi, was the rising face, the new lion of New Japan. He beat Sasagi, but the other defenses, I mean, he went to a draw with Taiyokea. He beat Nishimura, who at the time was very popular, but he's still someone who hasn't won any major belt, neither in Old Japan or New Japan. So it was a great wrestler, but not the biggest name around. It was a big name at the time, but I mean, he's not Sasagi. And he lost immediately against Muto. And so I think, I'm not saying that they botched the first train, because it was a great train, but if it were me, I would have been a bit more ambitious with the rain. Maybe I would have given him the 500 rain, the 500 days rain as his first rain, but they did it with the second rain. And this match was basically the culmination of my favorite feud of the year of 2010, which was New Generation Force against Non-Partisan Army, which were basically New Generation Force were Suwama and his kids, which were Masayuki Kono, the beloved Kono, Ryota Hama, which was champion before Suwama in 2010, which is shocking to think about it, beating Kojima, no less. Then we had Manabu Soya and Seiya Sanada.
Mm-hmm.
And these five were the rising forces of all Japan, and it was incredibly smart to put them together. While the Non-Partisan Army was basically a force of people who weren't born in all Japan besides Taiyokea, because they were Minoru Suzuki, which was a New Japan true born, Funagi, which was another New Japan true born, Masakatsu Funagi, and who else was there? Akebono, who basically started in WWE. So, I mean, he later went on to become a very iconic name for Old Japan. But at the time, he was still someone who wasn't Old Japan like the others, like other guys in the mix. Like, for example, Suwama or Minoru Suzuki, which he was as a freelancer, was one of the biggest faces of Old Japan in the 2000s. One of the things that started the build to this match was a title match, Suzuki defending against Masayuki Kono, which at the time, I remember people being shocked of how bad the match was, because it was a 30-minute match. I actually don't remember all this match. I need to rewatch it. I only remember the ending, because I remember that the story was that Kono wasn't giving up and Suzuki was almost killing him before Wada ended the match. And this was the only thing about the match. I remember people being put to sleep by the match. And I mean, Kono and Naysayers have been around for 20 years, since basically Kono debuted. And to think that Suwama's biggest reign started from a title match lost by Kono is very funny to me, because Suwama went in to defend Kono, basically, and then it became a feud for who was Old Japan. And at some point of the match, we see Suzuki and Suwama butting heads, throwing shoot headbutts, screaming, "I am Old Japan, I am Old Japan," which is incredible. Also, the match is very ambitious, because it is a 45 minutes match, which is something that at this point was very common for Suwama, because in 2008 he had the match against Taiyokea of 60 minutes. It was a 60 minute draw, and most of the matches in this second reign were 30 minutes plus. I remember Suwama facing Kenzo in a match that lasted 35 minutes, which had no reason to exist, that kind of match. I liked it at the time, but why put cancel a 35 minutes match. But this was what All Japan was at the time. They wanted Muto believes in formalism, basically. He wanted Royal Road to be represented in the typical fashion, and he wanted Suama to have big, big, long matches. And this match was incredibly ambitious because I think he doesn't have lost time in the match, because the first part of the match, the first 10 to 15 minutes, they don't throw bombs, but they basically tell the story of each guy trying to eat the weakened part of the other, because Suzuki came into the match with an injured leg and Suama came into the match with an injured neck. So for the first 15 minutes, we have Suama eating the leg of Suzuki and Suzuki eating the neck of Suama. And they do it very well, in a very varied fashion, with many, many, many variations of their offense. Then I think about 20 minutes, at the 20 minutes mark, they start beating the shit out of each other. And it is very cool. There is a spot that I love, that Suama goes for a suicide dive, and Suzuki eating him, blocking him with a chokehold. It's incredibly cool, especially because prior to that, Suama just launched Suzuki outside of the ring with a front suplex. Suama at the time was very brutal with his suplexes, and these matches have a lot of nasty bumps.
Yeah.
And they took their time to get to the good stuff in this match, and I think it's very, very deserved and rewarding. And the end part, as I was saying before, the headbutts with the guys shouting, "I am All Japan, I am All Japan," and the barrage of suplexes that Suama hits in the end, it's incredible. This is another match that I watched a million times, and it never feels too long to me. I remember loving it at the time. This was my favorite matches of not only 2010, but a larger period of time. I remember for a long time this being my favorite match of modern era Puro Resu. And I am really fond of this match. I had to go with this. I could have talked about this match even without rewatching it.
No, it's really valid why you went with this. Like, I didn't expect it to go as long as it did. I was like, wow, like 45 minutes. What is this? But like, this is the first time I ever saw Suama do a frog splash. And I was just like,
yes.
What? Like, Suama, like, you don't do top rope moves. What are you doing? So that was really exciting for me.
His frog splashes are good too. They were incredible.
But
if I'm not mistaken, he won the Triple Crown match against Sasaki with the frog splash, if I'm not mistaken. At one point, it was one of his finishers. He had a lot of finishers. One of the others was the ankle lock. He changed a lot of finishers in his long career. This was the start of the period in which he started winning the match with the backdrop, because he was this generation Jumbo Tsuruta. So he decided to bring back the backdrop, which is chef's kiss. And he's still doing it.
Yes, I love his backdrops. I think it was the second last backdrop he did on Suzuki. That was so beautiful. Like, just the curvature Suama got. Oh,
yes.
My God. I rewound the thing a couple of times just to watch it again and again and again. It's so good. Like, the part where Suama went for a backdrop and Suzuki reversed into a sleeper chokehold, that was really cool. The headbutts,
yes,
though.
There are. Yeah.
Like, ugh. The thing is, like, I don't really like headbutts because, like, we know now what that leads
yes.
to. But, like, the part where they're screaming, like, "I'm All Japan," like, it's a little bit cool, but, like, I don't know. It was a little bit hard to watch as well.
The headbutt in the match against Takayama was even worse, because Takayama started bleeding immediately after the headbutt. Suama used to do at the time the double arm suplex, the double underhook suplex. I miss that. He needs to bring it back.
The visual of Suama with the three belts is so, so good.
Yes.
It suits him. It really does suit him.
It feels so true. It feels so right to see Suama with the three belts. Yeah, I miss those. Luckily, they bring them back every once in a while.
They had brought it back for Nagata. They brought it back for Yuma. So, like, give Suama a thank you reign. Let him come out with the three belts once again for the last time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And if he ever retires, he needs to retire with the with the picture with the three belts.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, he's the record holder. He had the belt 8 times. So who's better than him to retire the belts once and for all? I mean, if they wanted the belt retired once and for all, because it doesn't seem the case, because every once in a while the belts are back. So I don't think they are ready to give up on that side of the legacy. And I understand it, because I think they also gave the three belts once to Jake Lee.
Yeah, that was when Suwama was supposed to face him, like, during the pandemic era. He got COVID. So then they had Yuma, Kento, and Jake all come in with, like, one each of the three belts.
That's true. Yeah. So, yeah, they really come back to the belts every once in a while.
Mm.
So I would love to see a final picture with Suwama and the three belts.
Yeah, but you're saying, like, if there was anyone to retire the three belts for good, Suwama would be a good choice. Like, there's really
Absolutely,
no one else who could do it.
yes.
Suwama is All Japan, just like Tanahashi is New Japan, just like Marufuji is Noah. Suwama is
Yes.
All Japan.
Yes, I was talking with someone on Twitter a few months ago that when Yuma Yagi said that he was All Japan Jesus,
God.
Which, by the way, I completely agree. And the question was, who is All Japan's God? I mean, who is All Japan's God? It's Suwama. Suwama is the centerpiece of everything All Japan. We have All Japan nowadays because Suwama was a thing in the mid-2000s. Without Suwama, I don't know if All Japan would have folded, but probably, and I'm almost sure that they wouldn't be as popular as they are nowadays. They would have been a much smaller promotion, because the other guys that they tried, none of them has been this good, this reliable. And also, he stayed truthful to the promotion. He never left. He never left in the tiring times. For example, when the Wrestle 1 split happened, Tuama was the one that decided to stay, despite him having a strong relationship with Muto.
Yeah.
In fact, I remember that when he did the press conference, an emergency conference, after all the guys were saying, I'm going to Wrestle 1, I'm leaving All Japan, I'm going to Wrestle 1. I remember Suwama crying, saying, thank you to Muto, but All Japan is my home and I will make All Japan big again. And he fucking did it. He made All Japan big again. And of course, later other people went in and carried the torch when Suwama was injured. But when Suwama was able to defend All Japan, he was always there. And he's still always there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not wise, but even injured, he still fights big matches. So I don't think there is someone who has All Japan more dear to him, to himself than him. Probably, I don't know. I think Kento is the same way. Because especially Kento, I seem to remember Kento being a very big fan of All Japan when he was a kid. I've seen pictures of him with Stan Hansen. With him as a fan, as a little kid. And the very beautiful thing, I think you posted it on Blue Sky, that Nagao as a fan with Kento, and now Kento showcasing this kid.
2018, I think.
Yes,
when he first
when
met
Nagao
Kento.
was still a little kid, and now this little kid who was a fan nowadays is the future of All Japan's
he's
junior
teaming
division.
With Kento.
Yes, he's teaming with Kento already.
Yeah,
like two days into his career. So, and I think this sense of legacy is one of the best parts of All Japan to me. One of the things that make All Japan so special, so dear to me. And Suwama is the perfect encapsulation of this kind of relationship between the wrestler and the history of the promotion. Because this guy started off as a big fan of the promotion. He was billed as the new generation Jumbo Tsuruta. And he was really the centerpiece of the promotion for, like, I don't know, 10 years.
Yeah.
He was center and front in everything of Japan. Then, of course, other guys came along and he shared the spotlight with others. But he's the incarnation of legacy in All Japan, and he's still incredibly needed. I'll go as far as to say that if they ever decided to change presidency, if Fukuda wants to stay owner but not president, they should make Suwama the president of the promotion.
100%. Definitely.
He needs to be the face of the promotion. And I think he's getting always bigger roles behind the scenes, because every time I see I see some new role listed for Suama. So I think he's getting bigger behind the scenes. So I would go for Suama as a president, because he's like New Japan did with Tanahashi, right? These guys are so recognizable with the history of the promotion that they attract people. They are very important to a lot of people, especially those who maybe were kids when those were kids in 2008 or 2010, and they saw this guy being the face of all Japan. Nowadays, it could be something that could really bring people together, I think. But I'm just spitballing here.
No, like, very well said. I feel like if I add on to that, I'm going to ruin what you just said. But yeah, just we love Suwama. The fans absolutely love him. Go back and watch the match where he came back from Vertigo and just how loud the fans were cheering. They were going crazy for him. And Suwama trying to hide a smile. It's just Suwama, smile. It's fine. You can be happy you're back.
You're human.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel bad when I hear and see people talk bad about him, because I'm just like, he's not bad. He tries his hardest just to make All Japan like the best it can be. He does so much stuff for the company. It's insane. The fans love him. The wrestlers respect him. It's just, no, I just have so much respect for him, and I just want people to talk nice about him again.
Yes, yes, I agree. It's very undeserved. And I still think it doesn't make sense, this kind of negativity that he attracts. I mean, for all he has done for All Japan, for all he's doing nowadays, I think that they nowadays they are going for bigger places, because Suama insisted for them to go in bigger places. I remember an interview he did when he was appointed as some role, some sort of executive. I don't remember exactly what kind of role he had. He said that the first thing he wanted to do as this kind of executive was to bring All Japan in bigger places. And they started going for bigger places, because the problem with Takayama's All Japan is that they hit a plateau very early. They had an incredible attendance when Zeus won the belt in Osaka. I seem to remember like 5,000 people, which is incredible. But then immediately after, they bombed a show in Chiba, which is the hardest market of Japan, because I've been told that it is very hard to reach that place, that the venue, to the point that I think no other promotion went there, or at least not frequently. Also, Chiba is a very small market. If we see that the promotion was based in Chiba, which is Active Advanced Pro Wrestling, the former K-Dojo.
Yeah, 2AW.
They always have, yes, they have incredibly, incredibly small attendances. One, because there are small promotion, of course, but because there aren't that many pro wrestling fan in that part of Japan, and which is fascinating, because Japan shares some executive with Active Advanced Pro Wrestling, I seem to remember, which is the reason why they had all their shows in 2020 in basically their venue, which is small places, but they did the closed door shows. And after that moment, All Japan started completely ignoring bigger venues. They went only in Korakuen, which completely halted the promotion's growth. And it was severely needed to go back to the bigger markets, I think.
Yeah.
And nowadays, they're very popular. I think it's safe to say that All Japan is a very popular promotion nowadays. We've seen with the most recent tour, not today the episode, but the Real World Tag League tour. The venues are always packed for Japan, and they are loud. There has been a big participation in their shows. So I think this is another thing that people ask Suwama to thank for. I don't know. I really don't. I wish people were different.
Well, it's up to us to educate the people in Suwama.
Suwama truthers.
I just want to say, for all our matches, there's something like that they all have in common, and that's Kohei Wada. He refereed all of them, and I love him so much.
Yes.
We got to shout him out too. He's as much as All Japan as Suwama is, really.
Yes, he's been around since All Japan started. So.
Yep.
And he had there at the time. So it was a very different visual to have Wada slim with hair but with the same shoes, with the same boots. Yeah, I know, he's been around forever, and is one of the reasons why I think WADA too does something behind the scenes. I don't. Is for sure he trains the new referees. Is the he coached Kanbayashi, which is now All Japan's first referee.
Yeah,
and he's basically a reincarnation of WADA. He's exactly the same kind of referee. He's a little bit less. I don't know. The problem with WADA is he goes too much into the match. He's as a protagonist of the match as the wrestlers. While Kanbayashi tends to be a little less intrusive, but he's exactly the same kind of referee. And I don't know, the two or three new guys, I don't remember the name, unfortunately. One is the nephew of Baba.
Yeah.
And the other guys, which I don't remember the name, but who wears boots that are too big for his shoes, for his feet, and is very funny looking. But they all work in the same way as WADA does. So it is another size of, I guess, you know, it is very ingrained in the promotion soul to constantly introduce new guys, which are linked very heavily with the history of the promotion.
We might have to do like a WADA fan club episode, even though he's not a wrestler. We still got to, like, you know, respect him. He had his 50th anniversary this year.
Yes, 50 years. He's been in all big matches, basically. So he's been the referee for every big matches in since the split. He's been in every big match.
Yeah.
And for a time, there was another guy, Bomber Saito, which didn't have a lot of big matches. He didn't referee a lot of big matches. But WADA was always there. He was always the guy who worked the big matches.
Yeah.
And he would deserve it, yes.
Do you have any final thoughts on Suama?
Yes, he's God.
Yeah. He's All Japan's God.
He is All Japan's God. I mean, I invite again people to watch this series. Because a lot of people don't know that Suama was young at a certain point. And I think you cannot talk about someone only judging for like 5 years of his career, especially since he's someone who debuted in 2020, in 2004. So, and also, these matches are great. I think those are some of his best matches. There are other matches that are also great, which I want to shout out, which was the final against Taiyokea in the Champion Carnival in 2012, which I finally was able to find.
Oh, and, good.
Tell me if you want to, if you want to watch it, I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
It's an incredible match. It's an incredible match. And it is very linked to the idea of legacy, because they do a lot of matches of classical Japan, because at the time, Akiyama was the invading champion from Noah. And so Taiyokea wanted to say that he was All Japan. And so he brought moves from Baba, from Akiyama himself, from hits the Tiger Driver 91 from Misawa in the match. And it is a very throwback match. It's a very throwback match. It is incredible to me. Also, there are other matches, like, for example, Suama had a great chemistry against Masakatsu Funaki, which seems strange because people who remember Funaki's reign, I mean, it was a very weird reign, because it was a reign made up of matches of 5 minutes, 5 minutes of length. So against Suama, he always had matches that 30-plus minutes. There were 30-plus minutes. And I think Suama picked one of the matches in the series, which is incredible. It is an incredible match. And also the match that Jonathan shouted out, the match against Sagiyama. I mean, it is a sad match because Suama loses, and it is the start of the invasion from Anoa'i guy. But, I mean, immediately after that, Akiyama jumped ship to All Japan. So, but it is still one of Suama's best matches, I believe. I remember at the time, even people who weren't as big as me on 2011, Akiyama were in love with the match. So it is another match that I really recommend. And also the match is against Shiozaki. I remember at the time people not being entirely sold on the match, on the matches, because they had the series of matches, because people were expecting better. I disagree completely. I think all the matches are great. And I seem to remember that Suama picked one of the matches for the series. So they are all on Japan TV. They are easy to find. Go watch them. They are great. And also, since All Japan TV was the thing, Suama has had a lot of big matches all the same. So go watch those matches. They're incredible. And maybe it will change your mind on Suama.
Yeah. Oh, that was well said.
Thank you.
Anyway.
I am very passionate about Suama.
Yeah.
Very, very passionate about Suama and All Japan, which are things that are very, 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 very connected to me. So, yeah, I could talk about Suama for hours, I believe.
Well, maybe we have to have part two. That way we can get Jonathan on as well.
Yeah. Shout out to Jonathan, by the way.
I mean, he's got 20 years of matches. So definitely we can pick another two. They'll be easy ads.
Yeah. There's no shortage of Suama big matches to choose from. is the best. It's the best.
Well, thank you for listening to our Suama Fan Club episode. Hopefully it helped someone out there with just a starting point for Suama or made someone appreciate Suama that little bit more. If you want to contact me, you can do at Sister Jessie and Royal Road 72 on Twitter. And I'm also on Blue Sky at Sister Jessie as well.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at OutsiderGW, but I'm trying to stay on Twitter less these days. But on Blue Sky, I'm with the same handle at outsidergw.bluesky.social.
Thank you all once again. I've been your host, Jessica, and I'll see you next time for more All Japan Pro Wrestling.
Thank you, Jessica, for having me, and thank you to everyone.
Countout provides a wide variety of bonus content that is right at your fingertips. On the Countout Patreon, our podcasts are creating bonus content exclusively for you, their listener. For only $5 a month, you can watch instant reactions to major shows, watch-alongs, early access to main feed podcasts, some fun goof and gag audio, plus shows from some of the podcasters' outside interests. It's the best way to experience all that the Countout Network has to offer. So head on down to patreon.com/countout to take part in some of the best and most fun content wrestling has to offer. Again, that is patreon.com/countout. This has been a Countout Podcast.